A tiny town in regional Victoria has just become one of the first in the country to buy a community battery with help from government grants. The mid-sized batteries are the latest trend being floated as a solution to Australia's grid woes and as a way for communities to store their excess renewable energy. Yakandanda's medical centre, supermarket and even fire station now have solar systems and batteries along with many households. Totally Renewable Yakandanda spokeswoman Juliet Milbank says the battery's part of the town's push towards 100% renewable.
Well, a community battery is basically bigger than a household scale battery, but smaller than the typical commercial big batteries that you hear about, like the Hornsby battery in South Australia. So it's not commercial scale, it's not household scale, it's somewhere in between. And in particular, our community battery is for the benefit of our local community. It supplies, helps supply power and keep our network reliable at the local level.
For those who aren't familiar with Yakandanda, how many homes and businesses is this battery going to supply?
Our township is around about 1,000 people, and initially it will basically help supply power to customers of our community and energy retailer, Indigo Power. Indigo Power is a social enterprise and was started out of Totally Renewable Yakandanda, but is now a separate entity, and they will run and operate the battery. And basically, they have a 65 kilowatt solar array that will charge the battery during the day, and then during the evening, that power can be released into the grid for customers of Indigo Power to use. And it can, if you had to run a certain number of households just off the battery for a period of time, it could supply 30 to 40 households for about a day.
And are batteries like this in use anywhere else in the country, to your knowledge?
It's one of the first batteries of this type. It's what's called a behind-the-meter retail-facing battery. So there are other batteries being trialled in sort of different setups around the country, but this is the first one of its type, and it's meant for the direct benefit of local residents, and it's not a commercial proposition as it is.
The town, the doctors, the supermarket and the fire station have solar panel systems and batteries along with many households. How important is being sustainable in your area to local people?
It's enormously important to our township, and there are many reasons for that. I mean, one of the obvious ones is people's concern around climate change and reducing emissions, but we're also a small regional rural community. And as anybody who has lived in regional or rural Australia will know, the incidence of blackouts and brownouts is much higher in those areas than in metropolitan areas. And this has been the case for a very long time, even before solar panels became quite popular in the last 10 years or so. So that means often that your appliances and light bulbs and all those sorts of things don't last as long because you have spikes in your power supply quite regularly. And it also means you suffer the inconvenience too. So anything which improves the stability and the reliability of power supply means a lot to regional people. And so our target for 100% renewable energy is bound up in all those things, both reducing emissions, reliability, resilience, and ultimately we want to set up the town so that in the case of the main electricity line going down from Wodonga, we can still run the essential services of the town because we'll be able to island certain parts of the town and run independently of the main grid. But that doesn't mean disconnecting from the main grid, but it gives you greater capacity, greater resilience to be able to operate in times of emergency.
Now, experts have said that this technology is a game changer, but there are logistical barriers. For example, that they're fairly expensive, aren't they? Can you talk us through them?
There are logistical barriers because of the way our electricity network is set up. It was originally designed as a one-way system to go from large commercial power stations one way to end users. And we're now in the process, a transition phase really, of developing a grid which is two-way, which has what are called distributed electricity or energy resources. Lots of small discrete generators that can all contribute to the grid. And so you have to essentially redesign the grid and the way it operates. You have to redesign the marketplace to cope with that and to fairly remunerate all the people who are putting power into the grid. And you also have to redesign a little bit some of the hard infrastructure too. But there are enormous benefits, and it's certainly doable. I mean, society has coped with many other more complex technological challenges. There is nothing about this challenge that is out of the realm of practicality. It is all completely doable. It just needs a little bit of application to achieve that.
So this project was possible with help from government grants. You want to see more buy-in from the government. What specifically are you after?
Well, we'd just like to see a little bit more assistance in that commerciality of batteries in this transition phase, because it is very new. Batteries are still very expensive. But as I stated earlier, the benefits to communities are just enormous. And even though batteries are expensive, to put in a battery in a particular area that has issues with its power supply is still much cheaper than network transmission upgrades. They can be enormously expensive, and this is why many infrastructure providers are starting to look at batteries as very good alternatives, because the cost of network upgrades can be enormous, and batteries can achieve all the same outcomes for a cheaper cost. So help with the commerciality of batteries, and also help with research into what is the best way of integrating batteries into our network for the benefit of everybody, for end users, for providers, for retailers.
Totally Renewable Yakandanda spokeswoman Juliet Milbank there, speaking with ABC News Radio's Anna Pikett.